not the kind of All right. I just communicated with our mystery guest. They should be dialing in as we speak. Greg, do you feel like you have your strategy set with Kyle? You feel like you're going to pull this off in less than seven no's, our new 7 at 11?
Yeah, I feel pretty good about it. I did ask ChatGPT what seven yes or no questions would be best to ask to determine a mystery guest selected by Craig Karmazin on Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin. So we'll see how accurate AI can be in helping us narrow down and determine who this guest would be. And I can speak because I can see the caller ID. There's no name on it. Just says wireless caller.
Okay, good.
Okay, so good.
There's no cheating there.
I was covering up with some paper here on the phone. I was like, I did hear a voice, though. So I am going to be very honest, is that I did hear a voice when they said okay, unless they were using a voice change.
Oh, you're saying you think you know who it is just from the voice?
No, I know it's a male.
Okay. Well, then you could ask that question to them right now, and it's as long as it's a yes, it doesn't count against you.
Do they know how to play the game, Craig?
They know. I believe
that doesn't count as one of our seven yes or no questions.
All right, let's put the mystery guest on the air right now.
The mystery guest is now on the air. Okay, they have been punched through.
And mystery guest, you understand the only words you are saying until you are identified are the words yes or no, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, we would have known it was a male for the most part regardless.
Hey, let's not judge. Let's not be judgy here.
I don't think we need to ask that question.
Yeah, you may have just offended somebody very much there.
And if I did, I apologize. All right, so good. They understand how the rules go. And yes. Greg, I'm going to allow you to ask the first question to get us rolling here.
All right, we good, Craig?
Yes.
All right. Have you ever played professional sports?
No.
All right. That is one of your six no's you're allowed, because if you get to seven, you have lost this game. The new 7 at 11. All right. Down to the final five no's.
Have you ever served as a broadcaster for professional sports?
Yes.
Looking for more no's here.
Good voice. They got a very good voice.
Good voice. Do you have a connection to Wisconsin either by birth, residency, or career?
No.
Wow.
All right. So,
here we go. Okay,
we're looking at more of a national broadcaster.
We got two. Wait, was that a question?
No, I'm talking to Kyle. I'm talking to Kyle.
All right. We got two no's right now.
Yep.
All right. So they work in professional sports, and they said broadcast. I don't know if it's play by play, or I don't know if it's like radio, or I don't know if it's, you know.
Maybe ask about maybe pick a sport, see if we can narrow in on what the sport is.
Do you do play by play, or do you work in a specific sport of football or NFL or NBA?
Yes.
Okay. Narrowed it down to one of those two sports. You guys are getting close.
I feel like we should ask, do they only do it for one like professional sports team or something like that? I don't know how that is.
We can ask about primary focus, or we can ask about network that they're on.
Oh,
you know, we could see if it's an ESPN talent.
We should do that. Because that helps cut down.
All right. Are you seen or heard on an ESPN platform?
Yes.
All right. So they work for ESPN. They're in football and or NFL and or NBA.
Yep, that's what we've gotten to.
No connection to Wisconsin.
Right. At least not the direct connection.
Wait a minute. Direct connection.
Well, I'm saying the way you worded the question.
Through birth, residency, or career.
Right. Exactly.
It's pretty all-encompassing.
Well, but I'm saying, like, if it was...
If they ever lived in Wisconsin, and that's residency at some point.
But if this is Tom Brady, let's just say, would you say he has a connection because he's announced a Packers game?
No.
What I'm saying. So yeah. I'm saying no direct connection. Yeah. Or because he beat the Packers in the NFC Championship.
Oh, we didn't need all that. And if this is Tom Brady, I still don't like it.
It was not a professional athlete, so we know it's not Tom Brady.
Oh, gosh. Greg, we got to talk. I'm trying
all right,
to figure
keep
out what's
moving.
The
keep moving. Keep moving.
Maybe we identify if it's NBA or NFL.
So
So you might just want
to
pick one.
Let's go to we believe is a professional broadcaster that does play-by-play or does some type of professional sports.
Yep. We didn't identify play-by-play or commentator.
We just said if you work in professional sports. I think it has to be NBA, right?
Ask.
Do you work with the National Basketball Association?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So it's
we know
so
it's
NBA, ESPN, no connection to Wisconsin, professional broadcaster.
Yeah.
There you go. Let's
how many questions do we have?
We have two no's.
We have two no's.
Oh, we only have two no's? Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right.
All right, sounds good. Well, now we can just start going with
ask play by play?
Yeah. So yeah. We'll ask that one. So we can ask
Are you a play by play announcer on ESPN focused on the NBA?
Yes.
Yeah, I would say yes also. Yeah.
All right. All right, so now we got. I think we can kind of figure out some names of some different individuals here. Okay, so they do play by play. They don't do stand up. So that means they're not a sideline reporter. So they do play by play, and so play by play would have to be. Ooh, what? Oh gosh, I got to figure out some of these guys' names.
Well, Kyle, just because they do one also doesn't mean they don't do the other.
Oh, now I'm trying to think.
Thinking about, like, you could look at, like, name. Are we at the name stage here?
Well, I think we're at the. I'm trying to think who Craig has connections with, who he can call
but
in.
But it's also somebody who's never been a professional athlete.
Yeah.
So we could look at a Mike Breen or, Dave Pasch, I believe, actually did live in Wisconsin at some point. So I feel like Pasch is out.
That's out unless Dave Pasch is the person on the line and he forgot that. And then who does sideline reporting and does play-by-play as well?
I mean, George Sedano?
Yeah, that's who I'm thinking it is. Because Craig loves him some George Sedano.
Do you want to ask about George Sedano?
I don't know much about George Sedano other than he's a handsome gentleman. This is George, very handsome. Does he do a radio show?
He does. Yeah. ESPN Los Angeles.
Well, let's see. Yeah. So let's see. We want to ask, do you do a radio show in Los Angeles?
Well, at that point, we might as well just ask if it's George Sedano.
I guess we do have more. Are you George Sedano?
Yes.
Yeah! Only two days.
I feel like I may have helped you.
Wow, that was impressive.
I feel like I may have helped you a little by saying like they may not only do play by play.
Yeah.
But it is in fact George.
That was a tough question.
It is, in fact, George Sedano.
That was a tough question.
Who he said has no connection to Wisconsin, but he will be part of the crew tonight. NBA on ESPN as the Milwaukee Bucks host the Memphis Grizzlies. He is also based in L.A. No better person to talk to about the trade of Luka Doncic to the Los Angeles Lakers. First of all, George, thanks for putting up with this nonsense, and great to have you on the show.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
All I was thinking while I was doing this is, like, God, if this was, like, some of the, like, people I'm, like, kind of not as friendly with who I would have on this, is this too embarrassing to put them through? But I think I'll do this to people. I'll put them through this embarrassing thing that George just went through. So, George, first, you're so close to the NBA. You're so close to the Lakers. You're literally part of the national broadcast that's going on in ESPN tonight. Did you have any idea that this trade was coming for the Lakers?
Absolutely none. Zero. I was stunned. I'll give you a quick story about it. So I'm flying here last night, and I'm on this connection from Dallas to Milwaukee.
So you flew from Los Angeles to Dallas yesterday. So you flew in the
correct
two cities of the trade.
Right. Yes. So I flew from L.A. to Dallas, Dallas here. And I was watching the Laker game on my phone. And game ends, so I flip over to ESPN on my phone, so I'm watching, like, college basketball. And a buddy of mine texts me and says, Luka for AD. And I thought he was just, like, proposing a fake trade to me. I said, I think Luka could eventually leave. I said, I just don't know what AD would be like at that stage if it's, you know, a couple years down the road. He goes, no, it's happening. And I'm like, what? So I go on my phone, and I have alerts for Shams, but I must have had, like, do not disturb or something. Or I don't know, whatever. I didn't see it. So I go, and I see Shams' first tweet. And I'm like, did he get hacked? Like, and I'm like, there's no way, because that doesn't even make sense. So I'm about to text Shams and say, hey, dude, is this real or did you get hacked? And then the second tweet pops up and says, this is real with all these details. And then I'm still confused because I'm like, wait, now there's details, but this doesn't even seem like enough for Luka Doncic. So I'm like, I'm about to text him, and then Windhorst and I are texting, and he's like, no, it's real. And I'm like, whoa. So I was just blown away by the whole thing. I was up, no joke, till about 3:30 in the morning here in Milwaukee, just still just listening to stuff, reading stuff, watching stuff, kind of going through it in my own head. I was blown away, stunned that this happened.
So you obviously were stunned. Do you believe that LeBron found out at dinner, or do you think he had some idea that this was happening?
Yes. No, no. I absolutely believe that he found out. So think of it this way, okay? This was obviously done in the shadows, as Shams Charania reported, right? So if you're the only team, okay, think of this from a business perspective. If Dallas calls you, first of all, let's imagine Rob Pelinka's reaction to this. He must have thought he was getting punked, okay, when Nico Harrison calls him and says, hey, we want to trade Luka for AD. Like, he's probably like, wait, what? And I'm sure he reacted just fine, but in his head, he had to have been, like, thinking, what is going on here? So, anyway, when ultimately, like, when this is done in the shadows, the way I would say is, if Nico Harrison, the GM of Dallas, calls Rob Pelinka, you can't tell anyone. Because if you tell anyone outside of your owner in that situation, that's going to leak, and then you are no longer first to market. Like, you no longer have that advantage of being able to make the best deal possible for you. Because if this leaks and goes and gets out, then all of a sudden, if you're Dallas, you're going to field a ton of calls. So if you're the Lakers, your only inherent advantage is that this is a one-to-one conversation. So you can't tell LeBron. You can't tell AD. You can't tell their agent, Rich Paul. You've got to consummate this deal with your owner and then go from there. And then once it's done, then you can tell people. And that's what happened in the sense that they told Rich Paul literally as this thing was breaking. To my knowledge, that's the way it went down. So, yeah, I totally believe LeBron didn't know.
And so AD, they just had to assume, will report, does want to play with the Mavericks. Because remember, the last team he was on,
yes, he
started wearing like Mickey Mouse or whatever. That's all, folks. Porky Pig shirts, right? Like, and just decided he didn't want to be there. So they all had to just assume that all these guys were going to be happy with where they are. So now that this trade is done, do you think either or both of these teams are contenders to play the Milwaukee Bucks in the NBA Finals this year?
So what I would say is, and by the way, yes, AD waived his trade kicker, which what I believe was a 15% trade kicker, so he seems good with the deal. I think in the short term, this is still a good deal for Dallas. They obviously had concerns, and I knew this, and I know Tim McMahon, our ESPN Dallas reporter, reported this. They've had concerns about his commitment to his physique for years, and even there have been some personality clashes. So I still wouldn't have traded him. But yeah, so they think that AD changes their trajectory, especially the way Kyrie is playing right now. They're both on similar timelines age-wise. They've got great role players. And when Derek Lively comes back, they've got three of the best power rotation players you can have. So for Dallas short term, I still think it's good. The West is just so loaded that, you know, who knows what happens. But I still like Dallas's situation short term. And with the Lakers, they need another move. Like, this can't be it because they have no front court help now. I mean, Jackson Hayes is their best, is their only option at the moment at center. So you can't have that. There has to be another move that correlates with this, unless it's, you know, LeBron waiving his no trade clause and going somewhere else because he doesn't want to go through a rebuild. So I still think some of those machinations need to play themselves out. But I do think Dallas is still in the mix in the West. I need to see more from the Lakers to figure that part out.
So as we chat with George Sedano, today's 7 at 11 mystery guest, we use that to segue to the Milwaukee Bucks that you are going to be seeing tonight Obviously, the Bucks started 2-8, then played a bunch better, coming off a pretty bad 1-3 West Coast trip without Bobby Portis. What's your take right now on the Milwaukee Bucks?
You know, Craig, I get the sense that this team is your very atypical veteran team that just doesn't bring it every night, particularly against lower-level competition. But when they play the good teams, they generally play better. And I know, you know, we can make the case, you know, San Antonio is a good team. Maybe they're not a good team. Who knows? They're like somewhere in the middle. But more than likely, it feels like to me at the times I've had Milwaukee. Now, granted, I may be skewed, right? It was when Wemby came here to Milwaukee. It was at NBA Cup. I was doing those games for ESPN Radio. And they just could kind of flip a switch. They're so big. They're so strong. They're so physical that as long as they're defending and hitting shots, I still like their chances to come out of the East. Do I think Boston is still the team to beat? Yeah, I still think so. But I think the one team in the East that can match up with them well in a playoff series is still Milwaukee. So if those two teams played, I still believe Boston would be slightly favored, in my opinion. But it would be more of a toss-up than any other matchup in the East.
So you're saying ahead of even where the Knicks are right now, and I know OG got hurt last night, and the Cavs, who, you know, we know have struggled recently, you still think the Bucks, because of their veteran experience, is that what it is, that and size when they're all healthy?
Yeah, and again, they've just been there. Like, Doc's been there, Giannis has been there, a number of those guys have been there, and I do. I like their experience. I like the fact that, you know, they can just bully people. And I still think in the playoffs, the game slows down enough where physicality is let go some, and I think that favors the Bucks more so than the Knicks, who don't defend at a high level and will defend even worse in theory without OG Anunoby. And the Cavs, I'm just not a huge Cavs believer in the playoffs. Evan Mobley needs to be their best player for them to win a championship, and I don't think he's there yet. He's certainly taken a big leap, but I don't think he's there yet.
I was waiting for Greg to jump in there as we chat with you.
I didn't know you're running the show. I didn't know we're over by 5 minutes. I didn't know if we're supposed to break here.
All right. I mean, your call. You want to get one last one in for George? I'll let you get one last in for George.
Was last night the most shocking night you've experienced covering the NBA?
I mean, it's certainly up there. I would say the only thing that rivals it is Ray Allen's shot against the Spurs, and that the way that game six unfolded in the 2013 finals. And that was a game, right? Like, that's not a transaction. So this is certainly near the top. It's certainly the transaction that blew me away. And,
George,
yeah,
I don't even know if you're old. I don't even know if you're old enough, but it's such a bizarre kind of off the court thing to compare it to. This was the most shocked I've been with something in the NBA that I can think of, and maybe I could be corrected, since learning that Magic Johnson had HIV, you know, as a kid. I remember that being so stunning and so, like, seemingly, like, not possible in my mind at the time, that this was the most out-of-nowhere news that I could remember, you know, as an NBA fan and follower and someone been involved in the league, you know, since then. I mean, that's how crazy this was.
Yeah, I was very young then, but I mean, I certainly remember being blown. I don't even think at that time I was so young. I didn't even know what that meant. You know what I'm saying? In retrospect, yeah, that was. But I remember being like stunned by, wait, Magic Johnson can't play basketball anymore, and then finding out as a kid entailed.
But how about Michael Jordan going to play baseball?
Michael Jordan retiring.
Michael Jordan going to play baseball.
It was more my age. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Michael Jordan retires more my age. Yeah, that one was certainly stunning because I was in high school when that happened.
Yeah, I mean, though, that's on par from an NBA standpoint with how shocking this stuff is. So, George, last quickie, I'll let you set the table for tonight's game in terms of what Bucks fans can expect. That game on WTMJ and right here on ESPN Madison as well as on ESPN tonight. What can we expect Bucks Grizzlies tonight?
I think Ja could play. They're shooting around. Well, they were just shooting around just now, so I should get an update on whether he's going to be available or not. He did not play against the Houston Rockets, but I got the sense that he could. I think if Ja plays, we're in for a great game. Obviously, the Bucks, as you mentioned, off that 1-3 road trip, they want to kind of right the ship. Memphis has had a lot of good fortune against the Bucks. I think they've won six straight against them, so they certainly feel confident going against a Bucks team. So I think we'll have a good one tonight against a high-scoring Memphis team who, again, can defend at a high level as well, and a Bucks team that is reeling a little bit but gets up for the big matchups.
All right, there we have it. George Sedano, part of ESPN's coverage tonight of the NBA on ESPN and our Mystery 7 at 11 guest today. Thanks so much, George.
You got it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, George.
All right. Only two no's it took you to get to George Sedano. How about that?
Do you like the new format? I feel like now you're wishing we had seven total questions.
No, I'm fine with the new format. There needs to be a clock on you guys. It's way too slow. It needs to be.
Let's talk about that on the other side. You got gripes. You sound like a little salty you lost today, Craig.
No. And I helped you guys also.
Oh,
you didn't help us at all. You didn't help us.
I pretty much gave it away to you guys.
You gave nothing away.
Anything. I gave it away for you. And
you were like,
my fault.
Maybe like Tom that's Brady, if he played. Like, yes, has he ever flown through the Milwaukee airport?
No,
like,
that's not the part. I pretty much gave it away. We'll explain when we come back. It's my fault. Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
All right, I got to just figure out my emotional state to be able to let you guys do this on your own. Because I kind of let you guys have this one.
Well, explain where you feel like you gave us any help that allowed us to get the answer.
Well, so we have this new 7-Eleven format. It's my relationships that I'm putting out on this. And, like, in my mind, I'm thinking if you don't get it, they'll be embarrassed. And then, like, I'm putting them in a bad spot coming into my home. So when you guys said, you know, so Kyle basically said, is it a play-by-play announcer, which George Sedano does play-by-play for NBA on ESPN Radio. He does some TV play-by-play. He does a bunch of stuff. So Kyle was like, okay, so they don't do sideline reporting. And I kind of jumped in and was like, well, it doesn't mean they're exclusive to play-by-play. And like then it, when you're thinking, all right, it's someone who's play-by-play and, oh, George Sedano obviously comes to mind. I had the
roster in front of me. We would have gotten to Sedano.
We know who Craig.
Wait, now having the roster in front of you, are we saying that's fair game? Just so we could all be on the same page.
Well, I thought so.
Yeah.
Right. So like, if it's like, are you an NFL quarterback? Yes. Then you can pull up the list of NFL quarterbacks, and that's fair game. Okay. I'm good with that. I just want to make sure we're on the same page on the rules here.
Yeah. I mean, I think so. And then I look, and I'm like, all right, which one of these, you know, folks that are part of the crew wasn't a former athlete?
But I'm saying, I love me some Ian Eagle. I love me some Brian Anderson. And I know you had gotten ESPN at that point. I love me some Mike Breen. I mean, there are a lot of guys that are my guys that would have qualified for that. I feel like I just kind of led you into George Sedano.
No, to be honest, Craig, I'm going to be real with you. So I knew as soon as we went play-by-play or went sideline, I had a feeling it was George Sedano. I just couldn't remember his name. That's what it came down. Because I'm thinking, all right, so who does Craig have connections with? And I know you love you some George Sedano. I just couldn't remember his name.
Anybody at ESPN have a connection to. It could be Stephen A.
Listen, I ain't seen Stephen A. Every time,
we would have recognized Stephen A's voice.
Exactly.
I mean, we had Stephen A in Milwaukee for Thanalysis. We had Stephen A doing stuff for Good Karma like a month or two back.
Craig,
like,
every time George is in town, he's been, you know, trotted around the office. Hey, this is George. He's going to do a show from here. So I know that's your boy. So I'm like, you know what? If we got all these guesses, I want to do George.
All right, let's talk to Frank, who's an accountant. You're on Sunday Karma. Morning, Frank.
Morning. A little feedback since I critiqued the first version of this thing. What I heard is, I didn't realize you're going with seven no's versus seven questions. Craig, you might want to rethink that because there were two multiple questions. The Wisconsin one really had three questions in there that only counted one against them. So that increases the odds to get yeses. If all they're trying to do, they could give 100 yeses and eventually
Right, but if they had gotten the yes, but if they'd gotten the yes, they would still not know if he lived here, if he played here, et cetera. So it would eventually lead to multiple no's as they were trying to narrow it down. Like how they had said basketball or football, at some point they had to ask the follow-up. Frank, I think the problem is they were taking too long. I think it should be like they have 10 seconds between questions and the clock should be like constantly going and this should be a rapid-fire segment.
Yeah, I think if you let them have those string on questions and to avoid no's, I think they're going to almost always get it, would be my guess.
Frank, what the heck, man? What do you want to do, man? We're trying to, you're not supposed to be
no,
for
but
Craig.
Saying,
you're supposed to be for
he's
us.
Saying,
we the
he's
people.
Saying like, that he's saying, like, if you're saying, like, are you a person, place, or thing, you got to just be able to be like, are you a person? But to me, if they say, yes, I'm a person, place, or thing, then you're still going to have to follow up, are you a place or whatever? And we know it's a person. Thanks, Frank.
But you avoided a no. Maybe seven no's and 11 questions. Maximum 11 questions and maximum seven no's.
Oh, seven at 11? Seven in 11? You have to have, if you can't get seven no's in 11 questions. There we go. It's getting interesting. Thanks, Frank.
Good luck.
Yep, you're the man. I think we got to, we got to let it breathe a little bit, right? Like the offense and the defense, it takes a little, right? We can't just, expect Dame and Giannis to have the pick and roll perfect in the first game. So I think we need to let the segment breathe a little bit, Scals, don't you think?
I'm good.
Right now?
I'm good with the timer. I think that when you say it's seven no's, it obviously changes the strategy as far as casting a wider net and then narrowing it down. But I think that the timing in between for the benefit of the fans listening is important for us to continue to like put stuff out there. And I also think that that guards against your concern of us using resources, because if you have 10 seconds between questions, then it is a little bit more rapid fire. And it, I think, has more of a potential to create those moments where maybe one of us asks a question that the other one thinks shouldn't have been asked.
And especially one that's already like that embarrasses the guest, which ultimately makes me feel bad, but is good for.
Oh, well, then
us.
That means you need to get more marquee names.
No,
name.
No, but that's
also
that's good for all.
That's
no, but
insecurity.
I'm saying if it's a marquee name and you can't and you're like, I know it's not like this person because I hate this person. And then if it ends up being that person, like, then so be it. Speaking of hating this person and being this person, I don't know why I would segue that way. Ron and the Key, who everybody loves. You're on Sunday Karma. What's up, Ron?
Wow, man. Expect that from Ben.
Hello, Ron.
Hello, Gregory. I don't know that it's been stellar the first two attempts, but it's better than what you've let my game show, Are You Smarter Than, turn into ever since Greg left.
Oh, are you saying Ben Brust is just so intelligent now that the game has lost its interest level?
No, no one's saying that. I don't think that's ever been said. The show isn't the same without Greg. Just go back and listen to the first time that Greg returned, and I think Evco was on the same day. But it's just better when Ben sucks more. And when Greg's on, he does. He reverts back to his role as the dumbest person on the show.
Yeah, there are some knocks. Thanks, Ron. There are some knocks.
Dang, Ron, the
like,
dumbest person. Wait a minute. So who's dumb? Is Ben not still the dumbest person on the show?
Oh, wait. Yeah, that is. Kyle, did you take that personally?
He's I sure
that,
did.
Oh, he just dropped
up.
Off.
He hung up.
Well, you guys do have Strofe on the show now, too. So
Were you on the show when Scals was back that day, Kyle?
I'm at work almost every day, so of course, yes.
Okay,
I was there.
So the fact that he was the dumbest person on the show, that's not an accusation against you.
That's
saying that he must be dumber than
Scals, though,
either Nortman. No. That he's dumber than people who weren't on that day because he's smarter than other people on other.
I think what Ron is saying is that my presence and Evan's presence at some point makes Ben even dumber because he, for some reason, reverts back to a different person when we're there. I would
Astounding.
Also give Josh DiMaggio credit as well for the performance of Ben Brust when I'm on, because when I do Are You Smarter Than Ben Brust, Josh is the one that selects the questions, and both of us know the honey holes to go down in order to get the most embarrassing bad answers from Ben.
Yeah, as if it's that difficult, but obviously you have turned it into a science over the years from the Scalzo and Brust days. When we continue, we have a lot of things to get to still. We're just getting going. We still have a Palermo's pick to get to.
Here's what I wanted to hit on next, Craig. Not to take over here. But I'm interested, given that we had such an incredible player-for-player trade last night, of what quarterbacks Packers fans would be willing to deal in a straight-up scenario Jordan Love for. Like, how many quarterbacks in the NFL would you say you're willing to trade Jordan Love for?
So you're saying make your complete list right now.
Complete list.
Every quarterback you would trade Jordan Love for.
Straight up, if you want to, you know, just let's just call it straight up. Who would you be willing to trade Jordan Love for?
Yeah, I also have a Brewers thing. I know that's a rare thing to discuss on a Sunday in whatever month this is, February. I have a Brewers thing also as we roll on. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. Damn, Flando. It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. Like I had it easy. If I ever cross it out
and stop, which it was for a reason. One thing about me. All right, continuing on Sunday Karma, and we are talking now Jordan Love as Luka Doncic, the top five player in the league, is traded. Not straight up, but pretty close to straight up. So what we're looking for is are we talking players or quarterbacks, Greg? Just to clarify here.
We can expand it to players. I was focusing on quarterbacks because I think it's so rare that you would be willing to trade a franchise quarterback even for any other position, no matter how great they are.
I would agree. And we're not saying based on their contracts or anything like that, right? We're just saying straight up, but at you are taking them at this age, but who would you trade straight up for Jordan Love right now?
Yeah, I think you got to look at it through this 10-year window, right? I mean, he's 26 to 36. Like, would you know?
Right, but I'm taking Mahomes over him.
Of course.
Even if 8, 9, 10 years from now, you might not rather have him.
You'd rather have 7 years of Mahomes of what he's at than 10 years of where Jordan Love would be.
Yeah, Mahomes guarantees you're going to make it to at least 2 Super Bowls.
Yep, okay. So then we're all agreed there, right?
Yep.
Now, number two... Now, I don't know that this is where most people would go number two, and it might be a little bit premature. Do you know where I'm going?
Jaden Daniels.
That ain't premature.
Jaden Daniels.
Yeah. It's not premature.
I think I'm aligned there. You could trade him straight up for Jaden Daniels tomorrow.
Yep, and I'll say yes, and I love me some Jordan Love, but what he did for the Commanders was incredible. He's only going to get better.
Yep, okay. So then I think you go to Josh Allen.
Yep.
See, yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess Josh Allen. I mean, Josh Allen and Lamar haven't won anything.
But you're...
I mean, except for MVPs, or I guess Josh Allen might win one.
Yeah, I just think we saw Josh Allen get to another championship game, and it's not like he's been the reason they're losing. And if we already can't have Patrick Mahomes, then I think, you know, he's the closest thing in terms of the AFC of getting there on a consistent basis, right? So then it gets interesting, right? Because then you get into, Lamar. And Lamar should be easy, right?
Lamar's easy. I'm taking Lamar.
Two-time MVP and all that. But in the postseason, we now have a large sample size of Lamar. He has never played a game as good as the one Jordan Love played against the Cowboys last year. And, and in the postseason, Jordan Love has protected the ball better and ultimately been a better quarterback, even with the bad interception against the 49ers, than has Lamar Jackson.
I'm still taking Lamar. He's a multi-time MVP. He can do things on the football field that very few people can do. And he was born in 1997, and Jordan Love was born in 1998.
But can he get to the AFC Championship?
Oh, can Jordan get to the NFC Championship?
I'm saying Jordan Love is almost as close as getting
Craig,
there, right?
Craig, I think it's a little ridiculous, a little far to say that you'd rather have Jordan Love with the potential versus Lamar Jackson where you know he's good. I personally would rather take many tries with Lamar Jackson knowing that Lamar's going to get us in a position where at least we have that game and eventually he will break through, right? I don't think Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen go through their entire career where they cannot defeat Pat Mahomes. Like, that would be a shame.
I'm saying we know what the regular season ceiling for Lamar is, and it's as good as almost any quarterback we've ever seen. We don't know what his postseason ceiling is going to be because we haven't seen it be that remarkable to this point. All right, Joe Burrow.
I'm taking Joe, too.
I think you got to take Joe.
Those are the only four. Those are the only four quarterbacks I'm taking over. I'm trading straight up for Jordan.
Wait,
Love
aren't
today.
We at five now?
Jaden Daniels. Oh, okay, Pat Mahomes. Yeah.
Mahomes, five. Daniels, Lamar,
Josh,
and Burrow. So now that means you are not taking Jalen Hurts.
No.
Who's been in two Super Bowls?
No, I'm not taking Jalen Hurts. No. Mm-mm. His roster is fantastic. Jalen's cool and all, but I'm not taking Jalen Hurts.
I would take Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, I don't know why. I really don't. Jalen Hurts, his performance in the playoffs against the Green Bay Packers was lackluster. And then he just uses his legs a lot. I mean.
But that's part of the game at this point. Like, he's got the ability to use his legs.
I mean, how good was he in the Super Bowl last time, right? I know he had a fumble, but he was fantastic.
How good would Jalen Hurts be on a roster like the Green Bay Packers?
I mean, I think he would play to what he's needed to be done.
I mean, he has Saquon this year.
And if you have a smart team, you build an offense around a guy like Lamar or a guy like Jalen Hurts or a guy like Jaden Daniels, and it allows you to do it in a way that makes it really hard to defend.
Okay, wait. So C.J. Stroud.
After this last season.
I mean, he had as big a rookie year as anyone until Jaden Daniels.
That's true.
And then this year, you know, he was missing all three of his receivers at times. And we, you know, when we saw him against the Packers, obviously in that game, Stephon Diggs got hurt mid-game, and they were already without Nico Collins, right, in that game.
Give me C.J. Stroud. His offensive line was brutal.
Dang, you hate Jordan Love.
I don't hate Jordan Love.
You hate Jordan Love.
I think Jordan Love at this point is better, but C.J. Stroud gets you how many more years?
You're just standing in a line full of quarterbacks. You said, give me him. Yeah, give me that one, too. Just Jordan Love, just getting picked over.
I'm as a top 10 quarterback right now.
No, barely.
That's not true. We've gotten seven?
If Jared Goff was 4 years younger, you'd take Jared Goff over him.
I wouldn't take Jared Goff over him.
Okay, Justin Herbert.
That is the last one that I would take over him.
No, not Justin Herbert.
Now, Justin Herbert, let's remember, was awful in the postseason, but he actually threw less interceptions in the entire regular season as compared to what he did in that game against the Texans in the postseason this year. So I don't know how, if we're talking about postseason success, I don't know how we can count on Justin Herbert here.
I'm not at a place, like Jordan Love's only won one postseason game. So why are we talking about postseason success?
He's performed exceptionally well in that postseason game.
He did.
And I go back to the knock on Justin Herbert is the fact that his team didn't win. He gotten multiple coaches fired now, right? I think he's on his third head football coach.
Second. He just got Brandon Staley fired.
Oh, Brandon was his coach the whole time? I wasn't sure if Anthony Madden was there with him as well.
I thought he got one more fired, but either way.
His second year starting, right? We just went through Jordan Love's second year starting.
Yeah.
Justin Herbert's second year starting at 23 years old, the man threw 38 touchdowns and threw for over 5,000 yards. And he can run, and he's tough, and he's durable. I think that he's the same exact age as Jordan Love, and he has way worse talent around him.
Well, okay, last year was he way worse talent offensively?
Way worse talent
you
offensively.
You think so? Well, they didn't have Keenan Allen. No, not this past season. Two seasons ago.
No, this past season they had a great they had an improved offensive line, but they did not have the running back. They have no one.
Their top wide receiver was a rookie second round pick named Lat.
No, I'm talking who was really good. I mean, he was better than any receiver on the Green Bay Packers this year consistently. Toward the end of the season.
Lat McConkey was definitely better than anyone on the Packers.
But I'm thinking about the two seasons ago when he had Quentin Johnson dropping passes, when he also had Keenan Allen as well.
Keenan Allen was hurt two years ago.
No, Keenan Allen played. He played 2 years ago. He didn't play a full season 2 years ago because he never does. But then you, on top of that, because I remember against the Packers. But
okay,
then on
wait,
top of
Caleb
that,
Austin Williams.
No,
Caleb
no,
Williams.
Pass,
no,
pass,
no. Now we've jumped
pass,
the shark. Now we've jumped the shark.
Pass.
No? Okay.
Hard pass. Easy pass.
Dak Prescott.
No. Don't want Dak. The Cowboys don't want Dak.
Caleb's easy, Dak's easy, Jared Goff you said is easy.
Yeah,
no?
I don't want Jared Goff either.
Baker Mayfield.
No, I don't like, even though Baker's cool and all.
Dude, Baker's, I mean, that's, you said that quickly. I mean,
no, it's cool. It's cool. I mean, speaking of the Buccaneers' new offensive coordinator.
The Commanders.
Well, you got to look at ceiling, right? I mean, and that's the thing is where's the ceiling?
All right, Michael Penix.
Nope.
No, I got to see more. I don't know. He's like 25, 26, his dang self.
Stafford.
No. Oh, heavens.
Nope.
No. Stafford might retire.
for the next 10 years at Stafford. You don't want that?
No, I'm not taking him into retirement.
And then the only other one,
Aaron Rodgers, there's two.
No, there's two for the next 10 years that you got to think about. Kyler Murray.
Nah, Kyler is not that great. I watched
Kyler play.
I watched him play, and he is not that good.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh.
I'm with you on that. No Kyler.
And then this last one I think would be mapped out pretty closely, and y'all might disagree, but I think very, very similar would be Brock Purdy.
Mm-mm. Nope. You missed one that I think will be interesting. Drake May.
Oh, I actually skipped Bo Nix.
I actually skipped Bo Nix.
Why'd you skip
also.
Bo Nix? I would think about Bo Nix over Drake May.
I totally disagree on that.
I mean, Drake May did not have a lot of talent around him this year. I will agree with that.
I like
so
Drake.
We don't know what Drake is yet because of the talent that was around him. Bo Nix showed
he wins everywhere he goes. Bo literally he went to like five
Except
different colleges. They were over 500, weren't they, or not?
I mean, over 500. It's college football.
And then he went to Oregon. He was a young man. Now he's an old man. But no, I like this. I like this a lot. I wouldn't say yes
to either of them, but I would put Drake May kind of close from a physical skills and projection standpoint.
Wait, so you're putting Drake May ahead of Bo Nix, but behind?
Behind Jordan Love. Jordan. Yep.
All right. We will talk about the underrated Milwaukee Brewers move. That's my Palermo's pick as we continue with Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
You're listening to Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. It's that time.
Yes, it's finally here.
Craig makes his picks of the week.
You can bet the house on it.
Picks of the week on Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin. Presented by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza.
Can't wait to see what happens next.
On ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Oh, you know we love Screaming Sicilian on this show. And right now, at Festival Foods through Tuesday, $4.99 for Screaming Sicilian Core Thin and Crispy Tavern Style Pizzas. That's right, $4.99. Stock your freezer with a hot deal from Festival Foods now through February 4th from our good friends at Palermo's. You know, I mean, Screaming Sicilians... I mean, that when you can get a deal on a Screaming Sicilian like that.
Gotta take it.
Gotta grab it. Festival Foods has it through February 4th. All right. So I know we've had a lot of things going on in the show, but does anyone know of any free agent catchers who've been signed in the offseason this year in Major League Baseball?
I know of one.
A free agent, like not someone who was on arbitration.
Okay. No, so I don't know of any right now.
The only one I could find was Danny Jansen. You know who that is?
Not off the top of my head.
Yeah, he signs with the Rays for guaranteed $8.5 million. They signed him. Okay, a catcher who we don't know who he is, who hit like 205 this year, right? Who played for the Blue Jays. That he was guaranteed $8.5 million. Do you know what the Brewers just signed their MVP from the last two seasons? How much they just signed him for?
Not that much.
The Brewers...
It's like $6.5 million, right?
It's basically $6 million, and I think they have a $100,000 buyout if they're not going to pay him what he's due next year. So basically, William Contreras is due $6.1 million for a guy who hit like 27 homers, hit .281... In an age where no one hits for average, back-to-back years, 289 and 281 for the Brewers, 92 runs driven in, did it from the catcher position. I mean, the Brewers are just smart, man, and I don't understand how baseball, this was to avoid arbitration, William Contreras signed this, but incredible deal by the Brewers, and just another reason to be excited about this team moving into 2025.
Not only that, it also included a $12 million option for 2026.
Yeah, exactly. So, right. So if they don't do it, they can pay him $100,000. But if not, they have him locked in for $12 million for the guy that 2 years in a row has been voted the most valuable player on the team.
Yep. $18 million over 2 years for that guy.
155 games played this past year. I mean, Kyle, right? That's unbelievable, right?
I love it. I love it.
Yeah, it is fantastic. Big thanks to everyone who joined us today out in Milwaukee as well as in Chicago. Yes, where we were here. Charlie helping out here at ESPN Chicago. Big thanks to George Sedano, our mystery guest. Remember, stay healthy, stay together, survive today, thrive tomorrow. Don't settle. You have been listening to the revamped, new and improved Sunday Karma. Kyle, send us out.
Peace.
This is ESPN Wisconsin and ESPNWisconsin.com.